Steven.
This is Kay.
Sheila.
Okay.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
I noticed that it says that, you know, that you're recording the conference.
Yes, we don't have to, but it's helpful if somebody isn't there and would like to hear what we talked about.
Okay, is that archived so we can get to it, or is that archived so y'all can get to it?
No, that's for you.
Okay. So we can get to it by what means?
They will send you an email telling you how to get to it as soon as this call is over. You should have gotten one from last week. It's part of the email that they send.
Kay, did you see that, or?
No, I haven't looked for it, though, to be honest.
I saw it.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. You got it. Okay. Yeah, it gives you where to look for the videos and then how to get the recorded conference, because there just might be, you know, when we do the, I mean, especially now when we're talking about what do you say to clients, what you're going to be giving the new level of service to, and then what do you say to clients that you're going to be letting go, how's the best way to phrase those things. Sometimes there's a word or something that you liked and you missed it, it's always on the call. So it's just a great way to keep, and if somebody misses a call, it's also a great way to keep track of things. We used to actually type up the notes on every call. That got a little bit crazy, but it was great for, you know, content creation and great conversations, and it was helpful. And then I'd actually, you know, give those to you, but we don't do that anymore. It became prohibitively expensive. So, what's on your mind today, and how'd you do with your homework?
Well, for me, the hardest part of this is how to talk to people about letting them go.
Yeah, that's always the hard part.
Okay.
Let's get to that. How did we our minimums and the maximum number of clients we're each going to have, and the minimums that we're going to, absolute minimum, target minimum, that stuff. Did we get to that?
You mean coming up with an actual number?
Absolutely.
I don't know that we have. Hold on. Trent's on the road, and he's asking me for the code, so let me just get that to him so he can join us.
Okay.
You know, we could also just join the call mechanically if you want, Kay.
Well, I don't know what phone he's trying to use. He's let his cells low. I don't know.
Okay.
So let me just do this, and he can get on. Sorry. He's saying he's trying to call in and says it's not started.
Yeah, my guess is he's using the old number.
Well, I texted him the new code, 192.965.
Did he just start over again?
The man on his cell?
I don't know. He's texting me on his cell, but I don't know if that's the phone he's trying to use to get on the call. All right. Okay, we can go back to the topic, which was the absolute minimum, right?
Right. Yep. That's a math game, really.
Right.
Taking the average of your clients dividing by the total number and coming up with an average. Assets or production. Production is the easiest to start with, and then we'll sort of translate that into assets.
So you think the absolute minimum should be based on assets, or should be based on revenue?
Well, you start with revenues, and then you when we use our screens, we use 11 different screens to determine who we keep initially. We have 9, I think, in the book. but the idea is that you've got to start with some number, and the easiest to start with is revenues.
Okay.
You can have somebody that has $10 million with you and pays you nothing, you know.
I'm getting a text from Trent saying he cannot get on.
Okay, do you want me to plug him in or no?
Why don't you try, Stephen, plugging him in from his cell phone. I'll tell him right now.
Okay, tell him I'm going to text him that and I'll be right there to him.
Yeah.
Let me know after you send the text.
Go ahead.
Okay, go. Right now.
Hey, Steven.
Is there everybody here?
We're all here.
Sorry about that. Are you going to be a host? It doesn't matter.
Okay. No. It can happen. Sorry. Whatever the reason is, but I hope it wasn't us.
I hope so, too.
So we're right now discussing the absolute minimum and target minimum. And again, remember that when determining who we want to do business with, who is our ideal client, typically we have multiple factors that, you know, their assets and their production's important, but whether or not they're, you know, how they treat people, if they're nice to our folks, if they're a center of influence. There's other things that come into it, but for purposes of this work, we kind of simplify it and talk about production. And then kind of translate that into assets. You know, using a 1% figure, and then that becomes the asset number really becomes the number we use for conversation. But I would use both to do my initial screen. And as we said, you know, the average of the first thing you do is take the average, you take your total production divided by the total number of clients that are meaningful, and then, you know, that comes up with a number. And then...
Yeah.
So I don't know if you got to that or you know what that is.
I did it. I did it. So the top 68 households are 80% of our business, or 80% of our revenue. So now I have a couple. The reasoning doesn't matter why, but I mean I have a couple, you know, large clients that are. You know, top 15% of our revenue is top 2, so want more of those and less of the smaller ones. But you know, we have a couple $100 million relationship, and then we get in the, you know, then we have some 30s and 40s, that kind of thing. But from a revenue standpoint, I was looking at it and it quickly got down to number 68. We're at $1 million. You know, so I was like, wow, I didn't even make it to 100. Of relationships that. You know, around me that I want to deal with. So I started thinking like, well, max minimum would probably be $1 million relationship. Target minimum is probably $2.5 million for now. And over time, that goes up.
Right.
And ultimately, I'd like to have, you know, five $250 million relationships that $10 million a year, and that's it.
So what are your total revenues now or production? For the team?
Our team, we're around $7 million. So.
And you're dividing that by how many clients then?
Well, there's a lot of clients. I mean, this is the ones that I wanted to target on and focus on, you know, these clients that are the 80% of our revenue. I don't have those numbers in front of me. But
yeah, no, it makes it hard. My impression, Trent, from our first conversation, and it's just an impression, was that the $1 million and $2.5 million is typically that's a million-dollar producing team. And you guys are a $7 million producing team divided by how many, you know, producing players?
Six.
How many? Six?
Mm-hmm.
Six producing players. So that's not that far off, I guess, when you think of it that way. You're loaded towards the top, though, I would think.
Rob? One of the things that Trent won't say at this point, or didn't, is it's my guess that he's doing about 40 to 45% of that $7 million number out of his clientele.
Well, that's what I was going to say. My impression is it's loaded towards the top. But that's just an impression, and I don't want to jump to any conclusions. So because I think we talked about, the last time we talked about, you know, do we want to have one minimum, we want to have two minimums, and so forth. My suggestion would be to make the minimum at least twice as hot what you're talking about. You know, I'd rather see you at a $5 million target with, say, a $2.5 million minimum. It's more in line probably with even the way you're thinking.
It is.
Because it's too distracting to have, you know, million-dollar clients that aren't going to be very complex. I think it just clogs things up. Maybe it's great for teammates, but for you, I don't think that you know, that's not what gets your juices going when you're doing business with $100 million clients. So, you know, you want more $100 million ones, meaning your real target then is probably $25 million is really what you're after, and you're interested in $100 million clients. So, it's the key here is to get your juices going, okay? You gotta get, you know, in order to take advantage of supernova, you have to want to be excited about the business and want to grow. And the question is, you know, what gets you, you know, what gives you a little half a step, you know, makes a little quicker step in your stride, and what get up a little 5 minutes earlier, you know, in the day to get you, because you're awake and you're excited to go to work, that would probably be, you know, growing to a $20 million team. You know, that's
right.
Now you're talking, and you can't do that with million-dollar clients. You got to do that with $20 million, or $50 million, or $100 million clients. And you know, my impression is you got the team to do it. And not everybody can do that, but, you know, you double your 14 and you do a little more and you're 20 million, and there are not many teams doing 20 million. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, we want to have fun, right? So.
Right. Balance. So, anyway. So I think from a team point of view and focusing the team, you want everybody thinking about the things that you're interested in and the size of clients, so that when they bring somebody to you, you know it's a good one. You know, they can work
mm-hmm.
hard, and all of a sudden they got, this guy's got $25 million, Trent, I think you're going to want to meet him. That's a good deal, right? That's good. They bring you somebody that's doing, they got somebody that's doing a million, you know, has $1.5 million, then you're not going to want to take the time.
Right.
It's not worth it. Because the other guys are out there looking for you. You know, they want you as an advisor. They just don't know it yet. And so everything that the team can do to put you in front of $25 million clients is what you want to do. And so that's the game. You know, how do we prospect? How do we think? How do we focus? You know, who are they? Where are they? And how do we get in front of them? Then the team has one unified focus. And yes, we'll accommodate other people, but that's not what we're thinking about every day. We want to be thinking about 25 to 50 million, $100 million clients. Where are they? Who are they? And how do we get in front of them? So you've done it.
Yeah.
So you know. It's not like surprise, you know.
Right. Right. And then what I like about that demographic is they worry about the market, but their problems are more complex, and they don't really worry about, you know, if the market does something wrong, it doesn't change their life.
No.
They're not as panicked. You don't get to that level. And I don't like second generation wealth. I really like first generation because, you know, they appreciate it. But I am getting into the multi-generational conversations since you brought it up, and that has been just massive with everybody I'm talking to right now.
Yep.
So let me ask you a question, Rob.
Yep.
So we have all these clients. I was focusing on the ones that I really, really want to focus on and was thinking, all right, I'm going to have Kay work on some of these, Steven work on some of these other ones, because I'm focusing on my number of relationships. They each can have their number of relationships. But you're saying, no, don't think of it that way. Just focus on my relationships. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you...
Each of us is focusing.
Yeah, but
each
from a relationship... Yeah, each one is a relationship... Each one is a relationship manager managing a portion of the book, which they're responsible for. All right, so they do the 12-4-2s, and they grow them, and they service them, but when they're prospecting, they're not prospecting for the size of clients they have. They're prospecting for the size of clients that you want.
Hey, Rob?
Yes.
Rob? Here's an example that may speak to it. I met with a guy this weekend. I spent 4 hours with him. You know, he says he's got liquid net worth on the order of $100 million. I stayed engaged with him, but I was no longer interested in him. My thought was, keep him alive, be courteous to him, entertain him, but get him in front of Trent, because I really don't want to be in that playground.
Perfect. That's why you're partners.
Right. Right. You want to be in that playground. You just want me to play in the playground for you.
Yeah, I guess that's where I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing here from the standpoint of, A, the outcome for the team, and, B, what Rob's experience dictates. Because I don't want to be in that playground. I mean, Trent, you're right. I want to be in the playground, but I want you to play there.
Right, right. So I think the message is, you know, we do multi-general placement planning, you know, how we can start positioning each other becomes important. This has actually helped clear up a lot, Rob. You know, it's a very, you know, probably the most uncomfortable for me is going through looking at all this, going, wow, you know, all those $1 million people have fed my family for all those years, and now I'm like saying, yeah, I'm beyond that. But you got to get to that point at some point, right? So, you know, there's nothing worse than, you know, looking at yourself with a microscope.
Hey, Trent?
Reflection's good, though.
Trent?
Yeah.
you weren't on the call when Rob said something that speaks to both, you know, you were talking about upstream, downstream. Rob was saying when you meet with that client, you know, the $1.2 million client that you love, you don't say, I'm getting rid of you. You say, you know, I'm taking care of you. I'm going to put you in a better place where you'll get more attention. Right, Rob, can you revisit that in real time so I don't misrepresent your words?
No, I mean, basically you tell people, to me, you have the same conversation with each client, and you just take a different path at the end. So what you do is say, look, you know, as in all businesses, we've grown to a point where we really have become frustrated. And what the frustration is that we're used to being able to deliver a consistently high level of client service to all our clients, but the good news is that we've grown. The bad news is it's become a real stress. And so we hired a consultant, and we went through our practice and analyzed it and came to the conclusion that we're going to make some changes. So what we're going to do is implement what we consider a extremely high level of service. So what we're offering to each client is comprehensive multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. They will be appointments like a board of directors appointment, where we have an agenda, and then we have an executive summary. And then what we're offering is 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution to any and all problems. How does that sound? And they'll go, wow, that's amazing. How are you going to be able to do that? And we'll simply say, it's because we're going to limit the number of clients that we have. At that moment, they're going to panic and say, am I one of them? And what you say is, at this time, no. Or at this time, yes, you are. And it comes down to our ability to service. We want to be consistent in the terms of the level of service that we can give. And we want it to be an extremely high level of service. So congratulations. We'll be telling you exactly how this will work. It's going to be, I think you're going to really enjoy it. We're going to be able to spend more time together and really get into some of the things that you're most interested in terms of being able to make your wealth effectively work for you in terms of passing on your values to your children and other things. And then where it's not going to work, we're going to say, look, the reality is, in order to deliver this level of service, we're going to have to charge a fairly high fee. And at this time, it doesn't really make sense for you. Well,
yeah,
how much? Right. Yeah. They're like, good. I don't want to spend that, you know. Or they'll say, well, how much is it going to be? And you're going to say, well, our minimum is going to be, you know, $10,000 at this time.
Right.
Or $15,000 or $20,000. Right. And they're going to say, well, what about if I consolidate my account over at UBS? And I said, you know, you said, I didn't know you had it. Well, I've never told you, but I have $4 million over there, you know. And then you bring that over, and then they're fine. Or you make the nice transition. Look, what I'm going to do is introduce you to John Smith. He's a highly regarded financial advisor in our branch. I've told him about you. I've taken the liberty to share that there will be some people coming to him. And I told him that about our relationship and that, you know, it's been a long-lasting relationship and to treat you like family. And then you just transition him off as quick as possible. Do not wait.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do that all in one phone call and have him either pick up right then and start talking to him, or you can say, let me dial him in or let me have him call you. But you want it to happen right away. I've had people that sit there and talk for a half an hour about it. It's like, you know, taking somebody to lunch and firing them. It's not a good idea. You know, don't ruin both of your lunches. You know, do it in 10 minutes and get it over with. And mm-hmm. and find it. And they care about themselves, trust me. If they're taken care of, that's what they care about. And that's what you care about. You know, this idea that somehow we're the only ones in the world is not correct. I mean, they will do fine. Now, as time goes on, you want a team that's doing supernova. Because this will not be the last time you transition clients. So you want to have, we call it stair step to the stars. You want to have a team that is able to take on your clients that you don't, can't do business with anymore. But they're still giving supernova service. And so that becomes a great business relationship. And maybe you get paid for 2 years, and maybe you don't. That's up to you. But you don't do a permanent split. You do a 2-year split so that you're done with it. And if you can't make up the revenues in 2 years, we're doing something wrong.
Okay.
I mean, you won't ever
do that. Especially with the level of business I'm hoping to bring in. I mean, I agree with that. I got that. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Trent,
and butlers.
Trent, can I ask a question here?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Rob, I hate to say yes, but that's exactly what I'm going to say. My preference would be to call a meeting with Mr. and Mrs. Smith and have John and Kay or John or Kay there and say, you know, go through the whole presentation of where we are, what we're doing, give them the standard of performance to which they're accustomed, and just at that point say, you know, from this point forward, John or Kay or John and Kay will be your relationship manager. And here's why. Is that perverted or is that bad? Is there anything?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. And I would give them a folder at that point and say, this is how we're going to do business in the future. And, you know, John says, yes, we're going to give you 12.42 and it's a service upgrade. And so they're happy then. They're getting more than they were. So that's the ideal thing, is you can incorporate a benefit to them into it by handing them a folder and telling them about Supernova and saying, you know, instead of getting called randomly, you're going to get called once a month from now on.
Trent, are you okay with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really not that different than what Rob was saying.
Okay. Well, he said make a phone call, and I'm just queasy about that. So.
Yeah, it just takes it's a little more work, but it's personal. And look, hey, you know, you've done business. It's kind of like, you know, these are the people that brought you here. So how can I be good to them? Well, you know, then take a little more time with them and make them feel the love. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's mostly for you. Okay? It's really not about them. It's about you and how you feel. But that's important. So do it, you know. The idea is to get it done and get it done as quick as you can. People have said to me, how fast can you get this done? I said, well, I saw a team go from 600 clients down to 200 in 4 days. Okay? But that was a little radical.
Yeah. Not going to happen that fast.
No. But you want to get it done in 4 weeks, okay?
Okay.
You want to get it done in the next 4 weeks.
Okay. So Kay and Sheila, we're going to have to work on some things together.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go through the list together.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens. We end up... I think there's something banging. I don't know what it is, but there's something banging in the background. What happens is the job fills the time, and it's very difficult to think of anything else when you've still got clients to deal with in terms of reassigning them. So your brain is worried about this, thinks about it, obsesses about it until it's over. That's why we do segmentation first. Then we do organization, then acquisition. In reality, I teach it as if it's three lanes in a pool, and we just give the guy that's doing segmentation a little bit of a head start, but everybody else jumps in the pool and dives in the pool and is racing to the end of the pool and doing their laps. So we're going to introduce organization right away, and we're going to introduce acquisition right away, because you need them all, and we don't have time to wait till we're done with segmentation. Plus, it's boring talking about segmentation the whole time. I mean, once you understand what you have to do, you need to execute it. I can't do it for you, so I'm sort of standing by to stand by until you're done. So we start moving ahead with organization right away. But if you get stuck in segmentation, then your brain doesn't move forward in organization and acquisition. You're stuck in lane one. You never get to lane two or three. And that, some people, I've seen it happen, you know, all the way through till 12 weeks is over, and that's kind of crazy. So that's why we give you 4 weeks to get it done, and go ahead and dive in and get it done, because it's like surgery, you know. Quicker you get in, quicker you get out, the healthier the patient for everybody. Okay?
Okay.
That's what I mean in terms of the wording. You know, the multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments or reviews to them in person, and then rapid response to your problems, one-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And then when you're prospecting, how does that compare to what you're getting now? Those words are really important. You will try and explain it and use three times as many words and not have it as effective. So my suggestion is basically memorize that and use it every time. If you have a better word to substitute, let me hear it. Because little speech. Because with those words done exactly that way, you'll get a wow quite a bit. And you're really not giving or much more than what you're doing now. It's just better organized. As you give 1 hour response, you answer the phone, you tell them hello, what's your problem? And then you respond to it. And most of the time, 90% of your problem is 24 hours. So all we'll do now is let them know when it's solved versus making it a problem lost in the wilderness. That becomes a nice service improvement. It's the details in Supernova that are really important. You know, when I was in the Navy, I was a Navy pilot, and if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Attention to detail. And the reason was, small things will kill you. You know, a crash doesn't occur because of an engine failure. It's a series of small mistakes that cumulative end up in a disaster. And if you've studied disasters, particularly plane crashes, it can start as much as 3 weeks in advance of the incident when things start going wrong and somebody doesn't say something or somebody gets tired and doesn't do their job. So in our work, it's attention to detail in everything that we do that makes us far superior to the others. And yes, you know, does it prevent us from crashing the plane? It prevents us from losing clients, and it also makes us that much more attractive as a team to be referred to. So our brand becomes better, and our clients are more enthusiastic about us and become true ambassadors for us. So that we use to become ambassadors.
I agree with that. I've been very bad, and Kay's on the phone, she will agree. I've been very bad at my message and how I have, because I've been giving clients to her, but not really, like, oh, I'm always here if she's not around. I got to stop that kind of talk. It's like, Kay, now you're rep. you know, I'm in, my position is always like, hey, I'm the portfolio and the head guy, but I got to stop doing that and say, Kay, it's going to be your, you know, if I explain it in the way that, you know, the business is successful, we're moving on, I want to keep you and give you the best service you're used to, I got to be much better at a handoff. Right, Kay? I've been too
weak. I think we all have to have a defined message that we're saying in the same way. So
yeah,
we all have to work on that together.
Okay. Well, thanks for being nice.
Rob, I have a question about, you know, as an individual, what is an individual, would you say, maximum capacity and
okay. Any other comments or questions on segmentation? This is a segmentation time. Establishing our absolute minimum.
Is anyone else hearing that weird noise?
Yeah, it sounds like a keyboard.
Yeah,
I'm sitting in my car in the rain.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, the rain. Rob, I just had a quick question about capacity. So each advisor, there's only 24 hours in a day, et cetera, et cetera. So what is the maximum number of households that an individual can provide this level of service? Hello?
We are.
I just got kicked off. I don't know why.
Oh, there you are.
There I am. Sorry.
So you didn't hear my question, right?
No.
What's the capacity for one advisor in terms of providing this level of service? Like, how many households is it reasonable for each one of our team members to take on?
I would suggest that with the level of business that he's doing and the quality of the experience that he's trying to provide, mm-hmm. that he should have no more than 50 clients.
50?
And that's because what he's doing is private banking. With a $100 million client, you better be delivering private banking kind of private wealth, ultra-high net worth service, and those guys all have less than 50 clients.
Right.
Okay, so that would be there. The rest mm-hmm. of the guys should have 70.
70, okay.
And the reason I say 70 is because of you guys. You're the ones that tell me that with 100, it's just too much work.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't sound like it. You know, 100 is 5 calls a day.
Right.
You know, one in-person meeting and one review on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 5 agendas and 5 executive summaries, and
right.
With 70, it's 4 or 3, depending on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a world of difference. Trust me, I have 6. Well, I typically have 6 calls a day. If I have 5, I love it.
Right.
Because you prepare, you think, and you know. It's exhausting when you do these things right.
Mm-hmm.
You just pick up the phone and call somebody, and it's just a friend, and it's no big deal, and you don't have anything to really talk about, maybe you have one idea or something, then that's different. But when you do it this way, you got to prepare.
Yeah.
But it can be very short. The call doesn't have to be long.
Right.
That's the part that people don't confuse. Preparation with length of call. You can have 4 items on the agenda And trust me, if you need to get off and they need to get off, you can get it done in 20 minutes max.
Okay.
Maybe 10 minutes. I mean, I missed a call with my advisor, and, you know, we have to set up another call. She's got a couple things I need to know about and do, and I got a couple things to talk with her. That will be a 20-minute call. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be our usual hour or 50 minutes.
Okay.
Because we're not going to talk about the kids and all that stuff. You know?
Okay.
We'll skip that this week.
Okay.
This month. Okay.
So where we're deviating from segmentation a little bit, but, you know, it brings up so many questions. The one question in your message, I mean, do you tell people what your minimums are? I mean,
Particularly if that's coming from insurance. I would tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it, what you're doing. Because the minimums aren't just, you know, assets or production. It's a good, I heard Bill Cates say this, and he said, in prospecting, you need to find somebody that's a good fit. F-I-T. It's a great word. Okay, so I've been using it ever since. I give him credit, but I took it. And the fit is important because clients will understand that. When you're asking for an introduction and you say, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for somebody like you. Somebody where we're a good fit together. We understand each other, we like each other, and respect each other. It's what's a good fit. And they understand that. They get it. You don't want, you know, I've got a person across the street here who I wouldn't refer anybody to because they're so awful to people. You know, they don't treat them with respect, and they always are arguing about money and don't pay, you know. So you need a person that values what it is that you're doing. So it's more than just assets or production, but that's a good start. And so that's the way I would explain it to somebody. You know, what we're looking for is clients. Here's what I would say. I'd say this year we're looking to take on a few new families, two or three new families, where we think it's going to be a good fit. Where, you know, you know them, you know what we do. If you haven't told them what you do, it's really important. and so we're open to an introduction to someone that you think would value what it is that we do, and we would really enjoy working with them. And people will be like, okay, I get it. Yeah, that's pretty simple.
That's great. I keep muting because I'm sitting in the car in the rain, but keep going.
Yeah. So, good question. And other questions that aren't, you know, because, as I said, even though we're talking about segmentation this week, we can talk about organization or acquisition because you have a million questions, and I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can jump to the work for this week. Identifying your ideal client, which we've been discussing. And then we go into some acquisition ideas, which I'll constantly be repeating and reminding you of. But one of the exercises that as you're doing this and you're looking at your clients, I would ask you to do is to list go through your top 20 or 30 clients and identify where they came from so that we can discuss the commonalities that they have. Because that's a good place to start in terms of identifying your natural niche and then your target niches. So, Trent, if you're a good prospector and the rest of the team is good at what they know, that they do, you already know what your niches are and where your business comes from. But you'd be really surprised that a lot of people really don't know that. And so we really have to start at the beginning. But I'm happy to go through that and would love to have that conversation, because that's where I spend a lot of my time, is on acquisition. And the more we spend on that, the more fun it is for me. And I think for you, too, because, hey, the idea of signing up for Supernova is to get me organized, keep me organized, help me grow, and then keep me growing. That's the biggest request we get. So if you have those off the top of your head, let's spend a minute on those. We're kind of running into a time jam, but just give me an idea as to where you think the majority of your clients come from.
Okay,
This is killing me because you're breaking up, so I'm not hearing. This is terrible. Go ahead, try it again.
Sorry. Golfing has been a big part of it, and I did golf this week. I'm just getting back into Orlando from Maryland. I was golfing with my network office to introduce each other to their neighbors and friends. And charitable, I'm on a charitable board, and I focus on trying to make one charity exit at a time. I find I'm managing money for a lot of retired money managers, guys that ran mutual funds, the guys that were in our business. So that shows a lot of respect, because they can really do it themselves, but they just want someone to take care of it for them.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's great. So I heard estate planning attorney, neighbors and friends, charitable boards, and retired money managers. Did I hear that right? I'm doing breaking up.
Yes. Golf line. Yeah. Golf. Yeah.
And golf, did you say?
Yes.
Golf. Okay, good. Golf's important. Okay, good. Those are great. And they work. And so, perfect. Very few people get a lot of introductions from estate planning attorneys, so we'll have to talk about that. That's a hard group. They don't typically have the ability to refer a lot, because people refer to them that are already being taken care of. So that's a pretty unique business model. We love them, and they're important, but they don't usually refer much business.
I think that happens here, because sometimes people are relocating from up north to Florida, and it's a good time to get a new advisor at the same time.
That's a great, yeah. If you can break that bond, that's terrific. Congratulations. That's good. All right, well, I hope today was of value. That's about all we have time for. I've got to jump on my next call. But the assignment is to move ahead on segmentation. I think you get it now. It takes a couple of weeks a couple of sessions before you kind of get the idea of where we're going and why we're going there. I heard it in your voices that you got it today. If there's still some issues, we'll spend some more time on it the next time. But the quicker we get through segmentation, the more time we have for organization and how to use the folders and when to call and how to create agendas and how to make them most effective and how to keep it exciting instead of boring and then how to leverage these relationships and these niches and make even more success for yourself. So thanks, and I'll talk to you next week. Good call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Can we hang on the phone here?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks. Sorry, I'm sitting in a tsunami.
I hear that. It's crazy.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Or is it too loud?
Just speak up. Speak right into the phone if you can.
too loud where I am? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did everybody else jump off, or?
I'm here. Sheila's here.
Is Steven still on? He
must be. Well, I'm connected through his phone, so I don't know. So maybe the three of us can just have a little time tomorrow, and, you know, late morning or something, and go over.
Okay.
We need to look at Steven's book. I just was looking at our book. I didn't really look at Steven's client, but we need to take a look at that as well. You're going to have a lot
how
more
do you,
relationships.
How do you want that, how do you want that list generated? Can Sheila do that? Sheila, can you do that?
Well, I have the 017 list.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So we just have to comb those out for Mike's and Trent.
Right, but first, what I'm saying is, can you do the same thing?
But I've already segmented the 017.
Okay, so then we'll use that list and
I'm talking about
it from there.
I want to look at Steven's list, the client, 517.
You're talking about the 517.
Five, yeah.
Can you do the
okay,
same
so
thing, run the list for 517?
Okay,
yeah.
We'll go a million up.
Yeah, but not Pearson. Just the two or three numbers K that
yeah,
are
020 and 36 and...
And 006, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll run this through.
Not 36, yeah, 006, sorry.
I want to go lower than a million and look at them because I don't want them to just be left, you know.
Hanging.
I want to see the whole client list, Sheila, which I think you already sent me. I just went from a million and up as a random drawing a line in the sand. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's some randomness
okay.
in my segmentation. I need to really think about it.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it tomorrow. I don't think
okay.
I'm going to drive right now because it's pouring. It's just pouring rain, so.
Where are you? Are you on the turnpike?
I'm about 20 minutes. I'm off 520.
Okay.
You know, about 20 minutes from the airport, you know, Orlando Airport. I pulled over
okay.
because I didn't want to be driving, talking.
No, yeah.
So I thought, hey, I'll pull over to be quiet, and this was not. So
if you're under a bridge.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the message, and I got to go back and listen to the message, but I think the message is very good. Is that we do multi-generational planning. We have a minimum of 12 appointments with our clients a year. Four, I don't know the message anymore, two in person. And we have rapid response, you know, 1 hour callback, 24-hour resolution, which
yeah,
that's promising a lot.
That is promising a lot.
So if you're saying that to, if you're saying that to the right people, well, if you're the 1 hour callback can be tricky, but it
mm-hmm.
also if they call in and you know, like my problem is, what if I'm on the golf course?
Right.
How do I do the 1 hour callback?
Well, that's a 1 hour callback. I don't think it necessarily means it has to be directly from you.
Yeah.
It means like if someone calls
okay.
and leaves a message, and someone calls them back and says, okay, here's the situation, we're looking into this, you know, and we'll get back,
yeah.
and we'll resolve it within 24
yeah.
hours. But
yeah.
That would be valid as a callback.
Okay.
That's how I took that to mean.
Yeah, I think he said that earlier.
I'm in a total tsunami. Jesus. The lightning's unbelievable.
Here.
Well,
sun shining here.
I know.
The
it's
rain
like
should follow me everywhere I go. I'm like Linus. All right. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Let's go back to this conversation tomorrow, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.